Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, The Solution, and joining me today is Fiona.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm just, only today have I removed the black clothes. Have I come out of mourning from last Saturday night? Only starting to come out of my grief.
It definitely hit hard, didn't it? I was burnt for days.
Yep. Can confirm I also was feeling the effects for days, which is so, it feels so irrational and so ridiculous that I tweeted it, but that's what happens when you love something with all your heart and soul. It can rip you a new one.
Yeah, and we kind of, so we won the Richmond game out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Collingwood, the opposite happened. Then there was this game. Are there any others that were like that this year?
Kangaroos. We won. Like
Kangaroos. Yeah, okay. So maybe we're square. But
yeah, we are square, definitely. Yeah.
That was the second team we were leading with like 30 seconds to go. It's just anyway, let's not revisit it.
Yeah, please. It's taken me 5 days just to get out of bed. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, life does go on, but the disappointment still lives in my heart.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, so we got the changes. We have the smoking Joe and sitting Joe and a Fiona's couch for everybody. We've got a cracker this week. So in terms of the changes...
This will be a short segment.
Yeah, because originally I saw in the three Nicks and I thought it was a Nick fest.
Good day to be called Nick, huh?
Yeah. Are we the first AFL team in history, if all those three played, to have four Nicks in the team?
Possibly. Yeah, maybe. I don't know how interesting that is.
Not at all, but more boring things have been spoken about on a podcast before.
That's true.
Yeah, so Dylan Shields, who was the sub, is now emergency. Surely he's not fit.
Look, I said it on the podcast last week. I wished it was, and in the end, can I also just veering from that point? I think your words last week were, it's going to be crystal clear, Fiona. It's going to be perfect weather, Fiona. And it, there I found myself sitting in the pissing down rain, few rows from the front on the ground floor. But my point being on that was it was the perfect weather for Nick Hine to come on and do some damage. It was such a bad sub call when Dylan Shield was not match fit because he hasn't played any VFL, any AFL games, to come on and be expected in one quarter to have an impact. I just thought it was we haven't nailed our sub calls this year. I've got to admit, I think a Hind is the perfect sub.
I don't know that, you know, it's a pretty issue about Nick Hind. I don't know he's necessarily the perfect sub. I thought we'd settled D'Ambrosio was kind of the super sub. He performed that quite well. But, yeah, I don't think Dylan Shield, I think he needs to go into the paddock, spelling paddock.
He looked off the pace to me.
Yeah.
In through the midfield. And... it was just when I say perfect sub for the game, I mean in the conditions, the very close. He's got a nous to get forward, kick really quick goals. He also has a very good, he's very good at stuffing it up as well. But I just feel like the type of game he would have thrived in, high energy, high, you know, high intensity. But anyway.
Be kind.
Yeah, yeah.
He fumbles in the dry. Why is he going to be good in the wet?
Yeah, no, I think the intensity and the vibe of the game would have suited him. Anyway, that's in the past, but I hope they do go with Nick Hine this week, and we will get to the Adelaide game. We will get to the game in a second, but I just think this is a good game for him.
Yeah, well, so the emergency there, so same team as last week, emergencies, Dylan Shield, Nick Cox, Nick Hind, Nick Bryan. So three Nicks and a Dylan. You'd have to say that it's either going to be Shield or Hind, I'd imagine. Nick Cox doesn't strike me as a sub kind of guy. And
well, he's versatile. He can
play. Yeah, good point.
You know, he could cover whoever needs to come off if it was an injury and not tactical. Just on that, I know there was nobody obvious to sub out of last week's game, but what has Menzi done? How has Menzi offended the coach for him to start sub against Frio and then get subbed when it was a wet weather game and small, little, quick, clever players?
Yeah.
Anyway.
The man to take off was Wiedemann in those conditions. Like, well, he was the man to take off.
Wiedemann was direct. I don't know if you read an article. By the way, I think the Wiedemann bashing is getting to me because I had a dream about him during the week.
Oh, no. Was it? You mean a nightmare?
No, a dream. I think it's getting to me officially.
What? Did he kick straight in the dream?
So random. I don't do any other sports, mate. Everybody knows. A bit of tennis, but no other sports, really. In the dream, we were playing t-ball in batting cages.
What?
I didn't even. This is what I mean. And then somebody stole our wallets. Yep.
And it was you and Wiedemann.
Yep. So he was in the batting cage next to me, and then the guy in charge of the whole thing stopped the game and said, "There's been a robbery, and your wallets have been stolen." And then I don't know. I can't remember the rest. But I woke up and I thought, oh, I've got to let go. I can't handle this Wiedemann bashing. It's obviously in my subconscious. But my point of bringing him up was that he was the reason that Langford had the space to kick his goals. He and Wright moved up the ground quite a bit. Anyway, no, stop it. I'm not getting into Wiedemann defending because I want peace in my dreams.
Before you get there, so I've just consulted ChatGPT on what the dreams could mean. I said you are a dreams expert. T-ball is usually associated with childhood. So this dream might represent a longing for more carefree times or a need to reconnect with your inner child. Additionally, playing T-ball could symbolize teamwork, cooperation, or the need to develop your skills in a particular area.
Oh.
So I think it's clear that was related to his kicking. He needs to work on his kicking. He needs to go back to the twos and work on that.
Nah,
and you dreamt wrong. It.
Nah, wrong. You read that wrong. I'm going to send you an article that pointed out multiple facets of Wiedemann's game that led to big, big moments. But again, I'm not buying in. You're baiting me. I'm letting go of the bait. I've spread it out, and we're going to move on.
All right, so you're making Nick Hynd the sub then?
Absolutely. And you know why? Because just a little note on Adelaide, I've watched them a lot this year because I really enjoy their game plan. I like a lot of the players, and I've watched them a lot. And the two things that come to mind when I watch them all the time are fast and fit. They go fast all the time. And then they've got really good marking forwards. Really good forward line.
That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah. So they're fast and they're fit. They will go, 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 go. So if ever there was a need for us to play that slow stop start game, it's going to be on Sunday. And if we need to match their speed, Nick Hynd could be good for that.
Yeah. Yeah, you might be right. I guess it doesn't answer the question, what's going on with Dylan Scheel and is he fit or not? And I guess we don't know. So there's probably
no, I think it's just match fitness. What, I don't know what the resistance is to just give him a run in the twos and get him a match under his belt.
But that's my question is I don't know that he's fit. Like, I think he's got an injury and I think he needs to, and I'm pure speculation,
yep.
But everything does not add up.
So you reckon they're just getting him up for the games just to get, and then at the end of season he'll potentially do surgery, you reckon?
Yeah, maybe there's ongoing discussions and he wants to play or try and play and doesn't want to end his year.
I don't think you can judge it off a quarter because, again, I don't think...
I'm judging it off the multiple weeks he's been injured, the times he's tried to come back and how putrid he's looked and... how that this current version of him is so different to the one we had earlier in the year. So I think he's injured would be my guess. But it is just a guess.
Himself, yeah, let's be honest.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go to the Smoking Joe and the Sitting Joe. Now, I had Weedman as the Smoking Joe. Didn't quite smoke. He could have won the game for us. He should have won the game for us.
Bullshit.
Shocking miss. No. He should have kicked that goal.
Parry should have won the game for us. He missed like everybody else missed.
Yeah,
like, they all missed. No. Rubbish.
But I didn't say Parrish was going to be the Smoking Joe. That's why I'm mentioning Weedman.
But you can't say a call. You can't make a call like that. He could have won the game. That's bullshit. Because if his kick wasn't after we were ahead.
Was it a good kick?
It was a shocking kick.
But anyway, so moving aside from Weedman, he wasn't the Smoking Joe. Do we agree on that?
No. As in, sorry, we agree, yes. He wasn't the Smoking Joe.
Okay, so I got the Smoking Joe, didn't quite happen. Your Sitting Joe was Snelling, from memory?
Yeah.
I don't even remember him from last week, but I have wiped the game from my brain.
I think
another Snelling game, really.
Yeah, maybe one or two good things. Does that justify a full game? I say no.
No, I don't think so. So, who are you selecting as the Smoking Joe this week?
I am gonna go. I'm gonna go with Peter Wright.
He's due.
Also because I think he'll match up well against Adelaide's backs, and I think he'll be really itching to. He's very, very hard on himself. That's why we love him, and you know, very high standards for himself. So he'd be super down that he hasn't kicked a goal the last couple of weeks. But we have to remember, he is allowed some slack. He killed himself to get back early. It was a miracle that he kicked those five goals and had such a brilliant first game back. But we need to bring everyone back down to reality and accept that it's going to take him a while to pick up the pace again. But I think he'll get back on the board with a couple of goals.
Yeah, no, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. Unfortunately, he can't play Carlton every week.
Yes.
Yeah, that. No, I hope you're right. My Sitting Joe, I'm going to say BZT.
Jeez, that's the second one you've given him this year. His poor thing is going to match up on Big Tex.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's, again, I feel bad even giving it to him. It's not his fault. He's up against these jobs that he's just not built to do.
Well, one thing's for sure is that he'll have Tex covered in every single other facet other than height and weight. He is way more athletic than him. He'll get him on the he'll be able to weigh. He's way more agile than him. He's just going to give away a ton of weight and a little bit of height. So who's our defensive coach? Is it I forget. I think Gia moved to the midfield, didn't he?
I don't know.
Anyway, I hope they're working on him. They're working with him on how to take away Texas' leading prowess, because he's very, very good at that. Very good, and he'll kick them from 60 all night long, like Peter Wright at the other end.
Well, and Eddie had, you know, it just travels that little bit further under the roof.
And he's in elite form. He's in very good. They're all in good form. All their forwards, but they don't travel well. They do not travel well at all. The Adelaide Crows. So that Marvel advantage is going to be really, really important for us.
So the game itself is at 3. What freaky time is it again?
3:20.
What the fuck?
isn't that the Holy Grail time? Sunday, 3:00.
It's better than 4:20 or 4:15.
Yeah. Look, I'd prefer it a bit earlier, to be honest, but can't just make the schedule around Fiona's schedule, can we?
No, I think most people would agree with you. What do you think? What's your prediction? What's your score? I have not missed. I picked Port last week.
But
I was right again.
I was right up until the final fucking siren. So
You
technically, I
were.
was right.
Yeah, you were right until you were wrong.
Yes, no, but you have been very good. Look, I'm supremely confident. I'm very supremely confident. I think it'll be, 22 points.
22 points, and how do you think we're gonna do it? We're gonna do it sort of in style, or is it gonna be
Well, I think it'll be
pulling
one of,
away?
I think it'll be one of our best games, to be honest.
Ooh.
As in, last week I felt there were a lot of passages in the game. I'm trying to just get rid of the turnovers from my memory, but
Oh my God.
a lot of the passing, some of the passages in the game felt elite to me. It felt like I could see the brand, the system, how it's supposed to be. So I just feel like we'll put more of it together this week. What do you think?
I think,
You're feeling the pressure to get it right, aren't you?
yeah, but I've got a really bad feeling. There's a
Why?
cut. I'll tell you why. It only ever happens on a Sunday afternoon, but a couple of times a year, we have a really bad game against an interstate opponent on Sunday afternoon at Marvel. Usually, when the umpires are giving us a hard time, a couple of times a year, and we yet to really have that this year, so we're due.
Not against an interstate team, no. I thought the North Melbourne game at Marvel was enough to
Just think of
make.
games. Think of previous years: Brisbane, Port, Fremantle.
Yeah, but I'm not. That's why I have no time for people who say, "Oh, same old Essendon." But it's not like, and this year above any year, there's nothing like. There is nothing like previous years. Nothing.
Yeah,
You could
100%.
between the worst fold and truck, eras, but you can't say that now. It's a
Hey, we have a coach that makes moves. I wrote a song about it.
Exactly. It was a great song. Loved it. You know what else I love about him? Like he coaches to the team that we're gonna play. So he coached to Port Adelaide, and he's going to coach to Adelaide. Whereas last year, I just felt like he was so stubborn in the fact that we just went into games, we're just going to play our way and trust in our way. But sometimes you have to change your way, not heaps. You just got to tweak your way depending on your opposition,
Yeah, yep.
So,
Nullify their strengths. Why not try and nullify their strengths and play to yours?
And
And
it's not about rejigging the whole, game plan to the point where that you confuse the players. It's about making little subtle changes. Like I think this week, because last week, I don't know if you noticed, but there was not a lot of stop, mark, hold the ball, mark, like there was against, for example, against Richmond, But I think on Sunday, given that Adelaide are a very fast and fit team, and they're just going to want, they'll run all day. If we let them, they'll run all day. And that's how they link up. That's how they get, like, their forwards know what their mids are doing. Their forwards know. That's why they're leading, Tex is leading. Like, of course, anybody would mark that. Wiedemann would mark those if you had
Yeah.
the kicks coming in, like it is to Tex, because they just run. So I think this weekend, this Sunday, we're just going to have to, and we're going to have to hit the targets. No
And
turning over.
we're gonna have to really pressure the midfield as well, like tackle and no, I hear everything you said. I think we're gonna lose by 10 points. I've just got a terrible feeling, and
No, I think
I
you're
pray
wrong.
I'm wrong.
Yeah, I
I
think
hope
I
so.
really do think you're wrong. I
I
really
hope
trust
you
in
aren't.
this team. And yeah, I was told by my source that they were absolutely, gutted. They could not have been more gutted if you, like, they believed in what they did so badly. Mm. They believed, not that they had it won, but they believed in the fight back. They were just gutted. They were absolutely flat, and they're really looking to to get back up there and to have a win and to kind of not have that feeling again, you know, where it slips through their fingers.
I hope you're right. Last time we were at Marvel, we played the Kangaroos.
Yeah, that was awful. That was awfully stressful.
So we don't want to do that again.
No. No, we don't. But you know what? You grow when you are challenged the most, and you get more out of the losses and the grief and the trauma than you do out of just winning every week. So as I said many times, we have to have one of each scenario with this coach. So now how much do you bet in the off season at the end of the year? How many times in the off season do you think they'll rehearse last week's situation over and over again?
You know what? I think you're right too, because given how young the team is, there'll be scenarios, there'll be situations that we won't make these same mistakes again. It's pure function of a young team.
And you've got to go through it to grow from it, to learn from it. If you don't go through it, you're not learning from anything. You're just doing it. It's like when you work out in the gym. If you just keep pumping those 10 kilo weights, your muscles are going to just adapt, and you're not going to grow. So it's, you know, bigger picture. Right now I still feel the grief, but the bigger picture is there. And the hope is that next year in the same scenario, it's a different outcome. If Scott has his way, and I think he will, because I just think that. But also on that, can we just take a moment and give a very big shout out to Flip and how good he played?
Yeah, he was fantastic. Yeah,
and I don't just mean in the hitouts, because some could argue that he was against nobodies, which he was. He was against a debutant and Finlayson, who's a forward. Let's be honest. But I loved his work around the ground. He marked the balls in the wet. He just little subtle, you know, shepherds here and there, good tackles. I just loved his work around the ground.
Yep, I agree. It was just a solid Ruckman performance.
Like, I didn't feel like Draper, the lack of Draper, lost us that game, put it that way.
No, I agree. Just to the side, like, thinking about next year and thinking how desperately we need to solve the key defender conundrum. And the news about Reed this week.
That's a good thing, though. I think that's a good thing. And send him for his surgeries so he's absolutely raring to go for pre-season and before. They'll get him going before.
I hope you're right. Because I hope it's not a situation where he just keeps getting injured and then injured scar tissue and then more prone to more injuries it's another Gumbledon type.
Look, yes, we have many cases of that, but there are also many cases that you can compare to where they've had injuries in the beginning. And look, he is very, very tall, and his legs go forever. They go forever, those legs. I see him getting a boost juice up here near me all the time, and they are longer in person than you see in Charlie Donza's photos. They are long. I just feel like he just needs time. I don't think they'll give up on him. I think they'll do everything in their power to get him absolutely cherry ripe. And I've said it from the get-go. I've said I really, really want Essendon to throw everything at Ben McKay and make the call irresistible and make it impossible for him to not leave Kangas, because I think he suits our blend perfectly.
I think you're right. All right. Well, any
and just on that, it'll take the pressure off Reed a bit as well, you know, for us to rush Reed.
Yeah. We need to find a guy who's, you know, not a draftee, not a really young guy who's 2-3 years away. We need kind of a solution now to help just alleviate the pressure on everyone down there, and so BZT doesn't end up in the in the mental asylum.
Poor guy. But he's powering away, and I thought he was commendable last week when he got going.
I did mean, you I'll, see
Yeah.
We spoke about on the podcast proper. Did you see Laverne next to Charlie Dixon?
I know. It was frightening, wasn't it? But on him, he had a much better game too after we called him out after, yeah, last week and said he's had a shocking year, which I still stand by he has. But he was great to see him back. He did some really good things.
Yep.
But it was frightening, yeah. And if you think that's frightening, you watch him stand next to Tex this coming week. He's a big boy.
God. All right. So now we're going to move to Fiona's couch. Are you ready?
What have you got for me?
Now, a lot of questions came through. Okay. It's kind of a theme. So I had to hunt, but I found one from a female.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of young men asking for help.
Oh, no.
Mind you, I did get one note to say that first forecast we did, that we, you know, were talking, I guess that was aimed at, or the question was from a young guy asking for some advice about how to.
Don't tell me you got some feedback, some results.
Yeah, I know. I had a guy say that thumbs up and thank you. So,
wow, okay.
So if we help one person, it's worth
helping the world one Fiona's forecast at a time.
Yeah, and if you're wondering what we're talking about, go back a couple of Fiona forecasts.
Doing God's work, as they say.
Yeah, that's right. Doing someone's work. All right. So this is from a female.
Yeah.
Who said, "Dear Fiona's forecast, I like a guy, and my main problem is he's always surrounded by a group of friends. So we go out, I've got friends, he's got friends, we're all mutuals, we went to school together. How can I stand out and make him notice me?"
Okay. So we have an idea of how old, what age group do you think this is?
You mentioned school, so probably early 20s, maybe.
Okay.
So you mentioned the scenario. There's somebody, she likes a guy.
I feel like I've been in this scenario.
Have you? Okay. Okay.
Questions triggering my childhood, my life. There could be something in this.
Maybe you've just experienced a lot.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, we'll continue what you were saying.
Yeah, so it's somebody who's trying to stand out from a crowd. You know, he's always with his mates. She's with her friends. You know, they're probably in social situations. But how does she cut him from the herd? That's the question.
Yeah, look, I think the difference between you and I, as in I'm talking to her, is that back when I was probably at your age, I didn't have social media to kind of fall back on. So I think social media is your friend here. If you're not comfortable just sliding into his DMs, I'm sure he has some form of Instagram or Snapchat or something. I just send him a very casual message, just to start off, just casual conversation. Maybe think of something that's relevant to you. So if it was me, I would probably think, if something reminded me of him or the group, so I'm not so obvious, say we just went and saw, I don't know, Spider-Man or something, and then I saw an ad for a Marvel movie or something, I'd text and say, oh, hey, just on Spider-Man, you'll never guess what I saw, and just make it relevant to whatever's been going on with you guys, and that's a bit of a subtle way to do it, and you can kind of get your foot in the door that way. If you're more of an in-person type of, you want to kind of make that move in person, I would honestly just take space. I would just find a way to always be standing next to him, to, you know, always be sitting next to him or near him. And
so you're advocating a tag?
Yes. No, and just
a run with role or hard tag?
A bit more of a defensive tag to begin with.
Okay.
So you're protecting your little heart at the same time, because you can't go all in, because if he's not feeling quite the same, you don't want to leave yourself exposed. So you do want to just test the waters, basically. That's what we're doing with the benign, relevant chat. And then if he's receptive to that and you find that he's keen to keep the conversation going, then you're in. You're in, darling. You're absolutely in, and you take it from there, and then you just take his hints and see where if you think he's being more flirty, then you can up your flirt, add some wink emojis. But yeah, if in person, I would just find every opportunity to always stand next to him or
That'll make it obvious. Can I ask a supplementary question on her behalf?
Yeah.
How does she ensure she doesn't fall into the friend zone? So, you know, she's sending messages and he's messaging back and he views her as a mate, or the same thing could happen in person where they're playing pool together and she's like that. She's suddenly in the friend zone.
Yeah.
Is that possible? Is that a danger?
Absolutely, it's a danger. But it's not necessarily, I don't see it as a bad thing. And you know what? Something my older sister always told me growing up when I was going through the stage of dating, starting to date. She said, Fiona, here's your big sister lesson. Guys and girls cannot be friends when you're young. And you know what? I always used to poo-poo her and say, what? No, I've got plenty of guy friends. Do you know what? They all ended up making a move, telling another person they liked me. All of them ended up, all my close friends ended up with wanting more than friendship. Now, that's not blowing wind up my own ass. I'm just saying that to tell you that if he sees you as a friend, I would say that guys don't have the ability to separate emotions at that age necessarily. They're not emotionally intuitive and aware to know the difference. So if you are in the friend zone, it's not necessarily a bad thing. That's what I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I hope that works for
hope that helps.
I think it'll help. We had so many.
Yeah.
Honestly, we could do a separate, like, 3 hours of just couch. Maybe we'll do that in the off season.
Yeah, we so should. And we could separate into categories. We'll do the R-rated at the end.
That's a big category, I'm just telling you now. I shouldn't say that. It's not R-rated. It's very relationships, romantic relationships focused.
Look, when I do those NGLs, I do get a lot of questions. Not so much questions, but all questions for me, asking me about those questions, like, for example, are you more into what matters most to women, looks or personality? So I just
say, you of course say looks.
Yeah, right. Maybe when you're younger. Well, trust me, when you get a bit more emotionally aware, it's not about the motion in the ocean. It's about the what's up between the ears.
Okay. Interesting. I'll just write this down. All right. Very good. Very good. Well, yeah, we could do that. But look, I want to thank everyone that listened. Heaps of stuff going on with the pod too. We've obviously got the Sunday podcast, did a song of the week midweek.
Songs I'm doing. I just commend you on those. The lyrics, the songs. I just giggle my way through them. So well done to you.
I hope
you've thought of something good.
No, so, I haven't. I haven't. So if you've got any suggestions.
I gave Solution the job of thinking of a good intro for Fiona's forecast, and he hasn't come through.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't either. Yeah. Really, all right. Well, I need to move on that too. But anyway, heaps happening. So check out the sponsor, Something About Cake. Like and subscribe. Tell your friends. Go Bombers. Get out there Sunday. Let's cheer. Let's scream. Let's yell. Then we can all go and get drunk over a win. And then check out the podcast afterwards. So thanks to everyone that listened, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.